Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
every show with it. Most of us can sit with ourselves muted and sing to it by heart, and that must feel pretty good to you, Mr. Hatter. Hatter.
I'm muted. Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. So, that's my co-host, big brother, Jay Hatter. And this is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio, coming at you from New Jersey and all around the world, broadcasting at the moment for 53 countries. That's pretty awesome. I'm happy for us all. We are all poets who hang out at allpoetry.com, and it's a site you can join for free. And you can write poetry. And if you are a member or if you join, you can click the Groups tab and look for A Team of Voices somewhere near the top of the list and knock on the door and hang out with us. And if you'd like to call and participate in the show and share a poem or listen to us as we read and participate with commenting, the number is 1-646-668-2837. And that, again, was the words you cannot say. And I have a few words that I'm going to say in a moment. Let's just say hello to the people in the studio real quick. I would like to say hello to the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life Radio, Kay and Stephen. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Good to see you, hear you. And I'm going to pick up Raconteur. Hello, Rack. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
And Wayne Kent. Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
And Sky, welcome to the show. Glad you're all here. Now, I have a little story to share before we jump into the poetry. I have a disclaimer first, though. One, we don't take endorsements, and people don't pay us to come on here and say nice things. Just making sure that that's known, because I'm about to tell you a teeny story that will only take about 2 minutes, but it was a big deal to me. If you look at the chat wall, you'll notice that I turned around and I put my picture back up for the time being of my hair almost all the way down to my butt. Reason being was to remind me to share this story tonight. So I had to get a haircut, and I went in and said, can you take off 2 inches for me and shape it up a little. Well, since we only practice love and respect here, I won't say anything other than it was so bad. I cried myself to sleep that night. It doesn't come down to my butt anymore. It just about makes it to my bra strap now, so I was not a happy camper, and it gets worse from there. But, and this brings me to my point, I couldn't take it. I was devastated. I was a big baby. So I went over to the hair cuttery in Glassboro, New Jersey. It's over in College Town. And I met a person there named Kate. And Kate did some kind of magic on me. And she shaped my hair into the cut that I had up a few days ago that I had already got a whole bunch of inbox comments on how much everybody liked it. And I actually like it, too. And you know from hanging out with me for years here that I usually keep it really long. So I was blown away. She managed to fix all the things that were wrong with the original cut. Then she blew the cut out, and she styled my hair, and I was looking all snazzy, and we went to the counter, and she would not take my money. I didn't have any cash on me because I was going to put a tip on my card with the haircut because I just needed it fixed. She said no. And those kind of things don't really happen anymore. Why would she care what happened to me at some other salon enough to fix it? Make some magic. She was brilliant. She knew exactly what she was doing, and if you need a haircut, you go find Kate at the hair cuttery in Glassboro. Worth the trip, because it took a half hour to get to her instead of the 5 minutes that I went to first. So, again,
it's her way of paying forward.
Yeah. So here I am, shouting out for her in front of 53 countries. My gratitude. And, again, I say this is not some kind of paid endorsement. This is a personal experience. And, you know, a lot of people like to just call out bad things in the world. And I mean, we shine lights on each other every day, and we share poetry, and we laugh and have a good time. And I figured, you know, hey, this is mine if I want to jump out in the beginning and shout out a thank you to someone who I thought did something amazing. That's my prerogative. So, one last time. Thank you, Kate. You rock. And with that being said, let's get this show on the road, because I happen to know, under good authority, that the Dynamic Duo has a show going on tonight that I wrote for, and I'll go hang with them later. But for now, let's start off the show with a poem that Kay wrote, because she was the first picker, as she normally is, when I put up a topic board. And she took the Phantom of the Opera art print. So I can't wait to see what you did with it, Kay. So the mic is yours. If you would dazzle us with your brilliance, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. These days I don't do as much writing because I've got a lot on my plate. So when I do, I try to economize. So I fit this for three different prompts. For this one, for tonight's prompt in our room for tonight's show, and then also bringing in a little bit of a serial killer, too. And after writing this, I realized that this fits like 90-some percent for tonight's topic. So, yeah, I was proud of that. Okay.
Yeah.
I call this Gnawing at the Root and Red Mists of Truth Upon Cloaked Madness. Dandelion ash, ebony is a snow of sunshine, and wintergreen feeds with musings. The cogs have stopped. Never sleep with your curtains open. The blood that is spilled smokes the hydrogen, creating madness that there is no callback from. Lesions of scars, soils of flesh, and thresholds of pale moons murdering heartbeats. Wipe your chin. The pill turns the outpost to rigor mortis. Nightside cello, traces of fingertips of nature. Open the window to pages of gold. Foot in the throat along the roadside, anti-heroes a chance. Whispers echo. Can you hear it? The horn is summoning. The blood thirsts, drown in the drought. Brass tacks siphons the hunger. Click the keys. Drink it down. Eggshell linen fabrics the illusion. Upgrade the drive that's blushingly cocky in the stair flight of lies. Drink it down. Wipe your chin. Slender and veiny. Pale skin cracklings betwixt feet. Glass houses break upon the children of diction. Rushing in. And poem.
Okay, for starters, I think that your title is incredible. Gnawing at the Root in Red Mist of Truths Upon Cloaked Madness. Love, love, love title. I think it's one of my favorite titles from you. Wowza. And, okay, let me see here. Where can I pick? Stuff like the cogs have stopped. Never sleep with your curtains open. Just that thought right there is kind of creepy. For one, I would never intentionally fall asleep with the curtains open unless I was on a floor, you know, up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, it was kind of creepy and good advice. let me see. Down further. Wipe your chin. The pill turns the outpost to rigor mortis. Nightside cello traces the fingertips of nature. Oh, and whispers echo. Can you hear it? For some reason, I think that it's really awesome when you can blend a question or two into a poem, especially when the can you hear it can go in so many directions. That whispered echo, in some cases, is a sweet thing that you would love to hear. But when there's the word bloodthirst involved in the poem, it's pretty logical that when you say can you hear it, if you do, you're in trouble. So that was really clever. And, upgrade the drive that blushingly cocky in the starlight of lies. Such great, great metaphors. And I'm sorry, Sky. Glass houses break upon the children of diction rushing in. There's like a doom at the end, like a warning, like a if you dare kind of thing. Children of diction rushing in. Really, really awesome. And the fact that it's a combo poem is badass, Kay. I think you did a hell of a job with this prompt. But you always do, and you always dazzle us with your metaphors and your choices of words. But I really like the creepy story in here. Well done, Miss.
Thank you. Life creepy.
Raconteur. What did you think?
Yeah, I like this in the thought of the Phantom. You know, the prompts that you wrote it for, I'm sure it fits as well. But, you know, in thinking of the Phantom of the Opera, you read this, you know, there are two things happened for me that I love that you did. Every little nuance that you mentioned that relates to sound is kind of amplified to me. One of the things that jumped out most was when you mentioned the horn of summoning, and then later on when you mentioned that crackling too. You know, that was musical to me. So, you know, that was all amplified in the background, and it kind of contributes again when I think of the Phantom, the skulking around in the background. So, you know, that fits well with the serial killer as well. But you know, all your blood imagery and things like that, you know, that plays into it too. And the question that Deb mentioned, you know, that's also something that really is kind of lyrical to me as well, because you know, sometimes when you say, can you hear it, for me, it's not so much asking, it's more of a question of, or is it your imagination? It's not that they're being quiet or anything like that. It's questioning and making you wonder if you're imagining it. And you know, that thought always fits very well again with the skulking in the background, because you know they never reveal themselves until it's too late. And yeah, you did a fantastic job with this, Kay. Beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Sky?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful, and I love how you mixed it too. Of course, the mix of the dandelion, ash, ebony from China of Wintergreen, seeds of musings. You know, you did a Phantom of the Opera show before, and I know how much you like the topic, and you know, you can see the sachets of that light and that dark. With the dandelion ash to the ebony, and your love for this, I guess, where you would say fandom. But I also can see how you kind of mix in the tones of the film, I mean, of the book Kabbalah and those kind of themes intermingling with the Phantom. And I guess when you're speaking of, you know, people that are being outcasted, I guess it all does render into a theme, into the same category of theme. So I like how you can take a multitude of ideas and kind of ravel them into one piece and link it to humanity. I think you do that quite well. And of course, the language in this, as always, is absolutely brilliant. Drink it down, wipe your chin, slender and veiny, pale skin crackling betwixt feet. And, of course, that betwixt word is always my favorite when you bring it out. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And what do you think, Wayne?
Okay, here I am. I said, great job with the prompt. He was one ugly man, and you described him well when you said, lesions of scars, soil of flesh, and the threshold of pale moon's murdering heartbeats. And he wasn't murdering because he was a murdering little bastard. And you said that when you said, slitting the throat along the roadside, anti-hero's chant. It's a wonderful bloody poem. I like the darkness in it. Great job. I love it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Unmuted. Yeah, you guys pretty much said I was playing catch up, so I just got done reading it a second time. Come on. Yeah, it's a beautiful write. The metaphors are solid. Storylines, spot on. But it makes it enjoyable to read. Okay, thank you. Elemental P.
Thank you.
You got K outside your window tonight, Hatter.
And Stephen, will you comment for K and then read for us, please?
Yeah, well, first, I remember when you read this to me, and I could picture everything that you spoke of. And hearing you read it again brings it all back, definitely.
Yeah.
I can definitely see the selfishness and the narcissistic fandom in these words, but the serial killer is there as well, and seeing as how, like Sky had said, and Jamal are Nightbreed, the serial killer is very prevalent of the story, so
yeah.
It definitely works for that too. So, yeah, I definitely thought this was a great write, and I agree with Deb. Yeah, don't sleep with your curtains open.
Okay, I will tell you real quick. A lot of the time when I write, I bring in conversations that I have with Stephen. That was actually something I said to Stephen. Anybody who sleeps with their curtains open is a fool. Always sleep with your curtains open. That was something I said to you a while back.
Closed.
Yeah. Yeah, sleep with them closed, not open. Yeah, I don't get why people sometimes in films and TV sleep with their curtains open. That's just weird.
What if they put them down to clean them and there's no curtains?
What they would see, you two live together in the same house, but you talk on the phone for hours every night.
Maybe.
We talk more than people. I'm always talking Steven's ear off.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course I took the painting of Spock. What would you expect?
And made him a 10.
One of my favorite lines that Spock ever said was in Star Trek VI. When he told them not to contact Starfleet Command, and Kim Cattrall said, a lie, and he turned to her and said, an omission. And I call this live long and kiss my upper thigh area. Is an omission a lie? Perhaps just an error in judgment. Logic suggests morality, and green blood never fabricates. Silken rectums blowing naughty hot air with dazzling champagne effects, sending sugar syllables through hyperspace with pinpoint accuracy, bypassing Uhura's nickel earbuds and flying under sensors, false faces full of feeble flame fire, even some express linen desire. Speeding past Sulu speed and Scottish scarlet engines, piercing skin of red shirt rage, killing Kirk with whetted spear, dodging Russian titanium torpedoes, pearl anxiety meds from McCoy. Jaded plasma filters eyes. Silver knives fit keenly between shoulder blades. Ponfar pains pilfer emerald sanity. Vulcan nerve pinch is not enough. End poem.
You know, this is fantastic. What a cool use of the word bank. I had little scenes hit me as you were saying some of the stuff in here, and for some reason, just the words earbuds, they don't even have anything to do with the same movie, though, right? The same episode of the movie. Anyway, for some reason, now any word that has to do with ear, and then you put Star Trek in it, I'm all about that earworm thing now. So
yeah.
That thing sticks with you. There's just some things you can't unsee. That's one of them.
Yes.
So was my haircut the other day. But no, speeding past Sulu speed and Scottish scarlet engines, piercing skin of red shirt rage, killing Kirk with a whetted spear. Some viciousness in there. Silver knives fit keenly between the shoulder blades. The details there are wicked. Back towards the beginning, is an omission a lie? My answer is yes. Perhaps just an error of judgment. Yeah, that too. I think that this is really cool with dazzling champagne effects, and I'll stop stealing lines. But I really like how you didn't use a whole lot of words, but you brought all these different images. You scored a 10. You got a really cool live long and kiss my upper thigh area. I mean, come on. And so many Spock would say something so, like, live long and kiss my upper thigh, but to add the word area does really give it a feel for Spock. So it was just like, it was a clever combo that you put here with the titanium torpedoes. So I think that you did great. Let me get you some comments. I will go to Sky first with that.
Oh, my gosh, Stephen. Seriously? Silken, rectum, flowing, nodding hot air? I love it. Oh, my gosh. That's poetry right there, folks, if you guys wanted to know what poetry was. This is great. I was really when you said that line, I was just about done. I was like, oh my goodness, Stephen, that is clever, creative. I don't know. Does he? The champagne and the bubbling. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what that's supposed to mean, because I think they're just talking about some things about the show that I'm not quite adept at yet. And I say yet because Stephen's making me watch. When I say making me, breaking my arm out of all the things that I have a fan base in, Star Trek was never one of them. So he's taking me down the Star Trek rabbit hole. So even though I don't know if I get all these little nuances that I think you actually pulled and shout out, still a reader could pull this out and read it and think it's quite brilliant and follow along easily. I look forward to the day that I'm going to be able to get what's happening with the champagne and these rectum blowing naughty air bubbles. keep going back to that. This was brilliant. I when I saw that you took that picture, I'm like, oh, that's pretty awesome that he took that one. Really, really well done.
Thanks, Jay.
Awesome comment. Hatter.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Unmuted.
Silken rectum's blowing naughty air out there. I didn't hear much after that.
As long as you didn't smell anything.
No, the pond for the other comment was right at the end. The pond for pains. You know, watching those guys, you don't get as many, like, it's not like skateboarding.
Yeah.
You're going down hard. God. Go.
Wayne, please.
Yes. I said, my omission is a lie. This poem starts out stinking with silken rectums blowing naughty hot air. That's pretty bad. I can smell it now. And then you went all alliterative on me, saying, all space is full of feeble flame fire. I'm jealous about that. And if you ain't careful, you may find silver knives fit neatly between your shoulder blades. Great job, this poem. It's wonderfully funny. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. I let everybody comment, right?
No.
Kay.
No.
Who said no? But I didn't
another
let you rest, comment, Rex?
The rest, another half of Jersey.
Please.
Oh, man. This was awesome, Stephen. You know, I think I got all the Star Trek references, but the champagne, you were just talking about farts, right? There's nothing that I'm missing Star Trek related with that, is there?
No.
Oh, that was brilliant. I had a smile. You got away with I guess almost half that poem, and everyone picked up on it. You know, you made it about fart and turned it into art. But the overall piece, you know, you incorporated so much of the Star Trek pop culture from the pond far down. I mean, you know, you've got all of their roles and that stupid thing that was always in her ear, you know, I can't picture her without that thing in her ear, you know, you really sum that up when you were just mentioning that Nicholas Bud, and everything else, but you did an amazing job, and then you molded it into a really good story. And the opening thought, the philosophizing of Spock about, you know, a lie. There was that other episode with, I think it was I, Mud, where, you know, everything I say is a lie. Now listen closely. I'm lying. It made me think of that too. I really enjoyed it from the title on down. There was another movie that someone mentioned about, you know, the fleshy area of the thigh, you know, and he's just talking about getting shot in the ass, you know. So to put it that way, you know, it made me think of another movie, but I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. But you reminded me of the quote of that as well. You know, I would have went more cerebral and said gluteus maximus, but, you know, I like the way you did it. It's a little more subtle and a little more Spockish, I guess. I don't know. But the whole piece overall, I really enjoyed. All the Star Trek references were fantastic. And you know, you almost overshadowed your own poem with the noxious gas at the beginning. It was a smoke screen to hide the murder.
The movie was the story of us, right? What do they call it? Kiss My Upper Thigh Area. Instead of saying kiss my ass.
Oh.
It was what
well,
the way of playing
Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis and Catwoman.
Yeah, the guy who played Meathead in All in the Family. What's his name? Reiner.
Yeah, that's Carl Reiner.
Yeah, he was
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, he and Bruce Willis were going back and forth, yeah. It's my upper thigh area.
Yeah. Be politically correct. Awesome comment, everyone.
Rob Reiner.
Hey, will you comment for your hubby?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what more to say. I mean, everybody, I think it's the majority there. Everybody likes, you know, the one line there. But, yeah, I mean, the meat and the bones of it, mission versus lies. I was telling you, because we were talking about that, you know, last week, they basically mean the same thing. In a mission, it still means that you're choosing to not be honest. So it all comes back to just being a lie.
Yeah.
So I know that's what you're coming up with that for the right. So, yeah, you know, it's a great talent bringing in Star Trek, but also bringing in a point, you know. And you brought in humor, so, you know. Yeah. It's an excellent share.
And if I may, the second stanza, and you'll have to pardon my French, it means assholes blowing hot air, but making it sound so sweet.
There it is.
Okay, your voice changed, but your breath still smells the same.
Better breath.
Okay, so before I read mine, Stephen, will you tell us what's happening at the mortuary tonight?
Yes, indeed. At 11:30 p.m. Eastern, the Mortuary of Shadows will start, and we are looking at the movie Clive Barker's Nightbreed and also the book Cabal, which it was based on. Kay and I watched the director's cut the other day, and I couldn't believe how different it was from the theatrical release. But it was still pretty good, starring what, Craig Sheffer. And it's a really dark movie, but it's one of those movies where it makes you realize the monsters aren't the monsters. People are the monsters, I think, is the main message I get from it. But it'll be cool tonight. We got quotes to write, too. Have some fun falling into the darkness.
Awesome. Always do. I'll see you there. And mine is on the board. If you guys will click on it, I actually wrote one this time. And I used 55 crayon colors, and it's called I Didn't See That 2-for-1 Sale Sign. And here we go. With powdered cocoa brown splotches on ebony, pepper and salt shades blanket the sky's canopy. Caramel and chestnut stain the face of the moon over toffee cappuccino waters in the Cedar Lagoon. Dawn breaks, tossing light and warming the breeze, swinging branches on redwood and magnolia trees. Hyacinth orchids, core flowers perfume the air, blooming at the Peacock Gardens by Kiosk Square. smell the dandelion yellow and terracotta rays shine as fat lemon chiffon cloud clusters float by in a line. Then sky colors glow with sapphire and thistle blues, striped indigo on plum blush, paprika, and berry hues. A lace butterfly flutters into the pastel-tinted display, dotted with clementine, lilac, iris, and cashmere gray. Her thorax is garnet, pomegranate, and sangria red, with two cranberry antennae on her pimento head. She flits over the marigolds, and two bluebirds sing as she sips the sweet nectar on petals that swing. Breezes blow spearmint and peppermint cologne mixed in honeydew and a light almond undertone. At the farmer's corner sit the stool, then munch on blackberry maple wheat pancakes for brunch, drinking iced tea with mint brewed in the opal sun, then buy cantaloupe wine and a blooming onion. Shop for 8 apples and a dozen plump tomatoes warmed by the sunbeam as the goldenrod glows. 2 male butterflies flit with their butterfly queen. I'm sorry, 2 male butterflies flirt with their butterfly queen, so they soar off as a trio into the aubergine scene. And
the flutterby queen. Sky, what do you think?
I think it's wonderful. I like when you write for your shows, Deb. They're absolutely brilliant. You know, the caramel and chestnut stains the face of the moon over toffee cappuccino waters in the cedar lagoon. This is so magical and descriptive. Unbelievable how you can bring in all those different unique styles of color and in language and kind of meld them together. The house tea is orchid and cornflowers perfume the air blooming at the Tupac Garden kiosk where I thought that was absolutely clever. You know, your rhymes, I love the long line rhyme scheme. You held in with all the intermingle of wordplay, you held in this brilliant story. It's brilliant, clever story, and did a wonderful job.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Kay, you still here with us? Did they leave?
Yes. Okay, yeah, I had actually read this earlier, and my problem is sometimes when I read stuff, I hear music a lot of the time, and I know that's not what a lot of writers intend to do when they bring in stuff, but I attach songs to a lot of writing for some reason. But I like what you bring here of the colors, because it does bring nature well, but as I saw it too, you bring in the creations of the heart. You know, with the humanistic touch. I like how the metaphors are stitched up. I like how you speak about powdered cocoa, because that's a great way to highlight the brown splotches on the butterfly. But, yeah, for some reason, when I read your author's notes, when you said at least a lady butterfly leaves with her 2-4, for some reason I was hearing an old, old song in my head by ABBA, 2 for the price of 1. I don't know why. Just because of the author's notes. But, yeah, the ride itself, it's awesome. A lot of imagery. Beautifully told.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to look that up. I'm actually not familiar with that song, I mean.
Butterfly can sing the blues. Stephen, what do you think, man? Our leader.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I especially like the salt and pepper night sky. That's a very cool way to describe the night sky, I think. Although the pepper's a little overwhelming in the night sky, but that's okay. I like the way that you used almost the whole prism to bring in your awesome details and bring them to life. And then, of course, I wrote, let me have some of those blackberry pancakes, please, and I'll save the blooming onion for lunch. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Dr. Poor. And I'll see you guys at the mortuary. Thanks for staying for my poem.
Oh, okay.
I kind of felt like Stephen a little bit when you mentioned the pancakes and the blooming onion. I'm like, no, they don't go together. And I put onions on almost everything, but you know, that's just me. The colors were a gorgeous way of you know, bringing out the details of what you're talking about. You've got you've made that like your signature style, I think, you know, and I really had a smile at the end too when you brined the aubergine with Queen. You know, I like words that kind of don't expect, you know, and if it went the other way around, I wouldn't imagine aubergine rhyming with Queen, but I don't know, aubergine first kind of made more sense, but in overall, you know, they seem to go well together. They certainly rhyme and flow wasn't interrupted by it. That was a beautiful combination that you pulled out. As well, you know, all of them, you know, and the details of the butterflies with the cocoa and whatnot, you know, beautiful little details and the opal sun, you know, it adds personality to things, I think, and personifies a lot of you know, the inanimate and brings it to life. So, you know, your poetry kind of jumps off the page because of it. Beautiful job.
Thank you,
Rob. Excellent comment. Thank you. You're the best, sis.
Sky first, and then Wayne, so that he can read his poem. Sky, did you want to comment?
I commented first.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
I'll comment again if you want.
No. I believe your comment. I'm just, because I wasn't keeping track myself. I'm just losing it a little bit. But yeah. Wayne, can you comment on mine and then read yours? Thank you.
I will do my best. I said, no way. The colors, the balance, the phrases, and damn it, the rhyme. It's a great storyline. I love your voice. I love this poem, and I love you. Good job.
Aw, thank you, Wayne. Love and respect back at you.
Short and sweet. All right, this is my poem. I wrote this poem, and then I decided to read it a little while ago, and I found out I couldn't read it because it's such a tongue twister. So this ought to be exciting. It's called Space Palettes. It goes like this. Machinery, muscles of magnesium. With mental marshmallow minds, blind blinking brass body boast after nickel name tags of alien kinds. Two titanium travelers tossing turquoise torn tickets together, guarding jewelry labeled blackberry alcohol from walnut weather. Assassinating ambassador attack, viper asteroids arching arrows, commanding captain change crimson colored cedar whiskey barrels, forging fuel feeds flamingo flames, announcing ignition to go. Platinum peppermint puppeteer pilot performs perfectly as CP3O. Short silver shelled shouts, eyeing smoke shadows of space view. Robot warrior radiates red wine and cranberry champagne for R2-D2. Titanium dwelling darts through weaving webs of ebony voids, leaving alloys of acrylic aluminum ribbons by two gunmetal droids. In.
Very cool. Machine muscles of magnesium with mental marshmallow minds. Yeah, you're right. It's a bit of a tongue twist. Blonde blinking brass body boast. Nice nickel name tags of alien kinds. I like when you do that. And you actually had me giggling when you were saying, now I don't know if I'll be able to read it. I think you did great with it.
Forging
jewel feeds flamingo flames, announcing ignition to go. Platinum peppermint puppeteer pilot performs perfectly as CP3O. Wait, CP3PO? Isn't that a little bit old? Anyway, I like that you put their names
maybe
in the poem. I could be wrong. I thought it was C3CPO. But yeah, I can't even talk. C-3PO.
I don't
mind
them.
C-3PO.
What is it, Rick? C-3PO?
C-3PO. And R2-D2. Okay, cool. But no, I do. I really love that you put their names in there. And the last stanza there, titanium dwelling darts through weepy webs of ebony voids, leaving alloy of acrylic aluminum ribbons by two gunmetal droids. I think you did an awesome job with this, Wayne.
Oh, thank you.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
I'll let you finish this comment in a minute, Hatter. Let's say hello to AP.
Hey, hi, Deb. How are you?
Hey. Good to see you.
Hey, AP.
It is C3PO, too. Great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I used to think you was a droid.
Maybe.
With your accent.
I was.
You had that accent. I said, he can't be a human.
Occasionally.
Well, he has his own droid, kind of. Just
he
saying.
Is.
Mm-hmm. I do.
He's smarter than a droid.
I do.
Yeah, his droid's very smart. Anyway, let me see here. How about if Hatter, will you want to finish that comment for Wayne?
I'm sorry. I tried to do two things at once and what did I need to do? Oh, Wayne's phone.
Uh-huh.
Space pilots. Right off the bat was it Do you normally keep the starting letter of words crunched up into one stanza?
It's just Debbie does it. Debbie does all her words laid up there, and I look at him and say, "Well, no more stanzas, but I can use all of them."
Oh, okay.
I'd never be able to think about them. If I was by myself, I wouldn't be able to think of them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know that many words to think of. I wouldn't know like 7 words.
Okay. Okay, because I was noticing that when Captain Shade crimson colored cedar and for giving fuel feeds flamingo flame. I think this is.
Wish that's whiskey. Try that.
It's almost Seussian. Dr. Seuss. Yeah, this is very clever. Very clever, Wayne. Enjoy.
Well, thank you very much, Hatter.
Yeah.
He's up to you. He's looking for you.
Before I get the next question, I have a question myself. AP, Sky said that you're more than welcome to go ahead of her if you'd like to put your link on the board. Oh. Is your time pressed?
Okay.
And Raconteur, will you comment for
you.
Wayne, please?
Yeah, I really like this poem, Wayne. The only thing I give you a gentle nudge, you said brown instead of bronze. I think bronze would have fit better. But other than that, I think it was absolutely spot on. You know, it really had the feel of the droids and everything else. Even getting, you know, C-3PO, 3CPO, you know, I won't say it's trivial. Only us nerds, but you know,
only
I
like
go 70
times.
Yeah. I mean, these are the droids we're looking for. You did a great job with it, Wayne.
Thank you, my man. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And after Sky, will you comment for Wayne, please?
Absolutely. I've seen all those Star Wars, and I was really itching. I really wanted the Ewoks, but I went a different direction. I think you did such a great job. You know, this alliteration is absolutely out of this world. I don't even know how Deb got through those T's and how you got through the whole thing.
Me neither.
So cool. My voice is very strong. So cool and so creative. You know, I think it's really hard to choose a favorite part, but if I had to, I think it might be the mental marshmallow mind. I thought that was pretty cool. And you definitely brought a new aspect to the Star Wars universe with this piece. Very well done.
Thank you very much, Sky. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome comments, Sky. And AP, will you comment for Wayne and then read your poem for us?
I think some of the pieces, the descriptions are just brilliant. They just come together really, really well. And they actually add something. I know that sounds sort of strange, but as a Star Wars person, I look at the line, blonde, blinking, brass body boast, and I really like it. And it actually gets the character, as does machinery muscles of magnesium gets R2-D2. I think it's actually really, really clever and really quite insightful.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Must be like it.
And AP, a couple people have asked after you if you want to tell people how you're doing before you read. I don't know what you want to share and what you don't, so I haven't said too much.
No. Look, the good news is I'm out of hospital, which is a good hospital for just on a week. In essence, I've got away with getting out of hospital in one piece. There was I've got a rather nasty infection in the bone of my foot, and there was some concern that we might have to amputate the foot. That has happened, thank goodness. So I'm busily taking large doses of antibiotics to basically keep that at bay for the time being. So, but yeah, it was quite serious, and it was wasn't a particularly pleasant week.
And I, for one, I'm glad you're doing a little better. And
yeah, I am too.
Thank you.
Keeping on.
I just sort of had a spare few minutes and got the Cat in the Hat picture and got the word bank, and this is of a cat, a little brevity, and it goes a little bit like this. A few drops of Merlot to blocks of black ink, smash grey as flow, beat seen don't link, and some rose flush to charcoal of shape, recall wine and mush, missed here for a cape. Arms at full stretch, Tyruvian square, vanilla must fetch, red hiding within air. There is only one cat, striped cell opal dare. It's the Cat in the Hat. Go right ahead, stare. End poem.
I like the end. Go right ahead and stare. A few drops of Merlot, two blots of black ink. Smash grayish flow, beats seen, don't link. I like the cute rhyme scheme and your teeny little stanzas. You packed a lot of vivid images into them. Arms at full stretch, tie ruby in square, vanilla must fetch, red hiding within air. I like the back and forth, and I don't want to steal all the lines, but I like to guess which photos that I think each person will pick as I put them on the board. And I could have guessed at between two that you would have went with the Cat in the Hat because of the chance to do the Dr. Seuss rhyme. And I think that you did I do have to say that this is my first Cat in the Hat Dr. Seuss flair with some Merlot in there, but it's very clever. And I'm really glad that you filled up the call and reading for us, and appreciate it very much. Great share. Let me get some comments here.
Thank you.
Patter. You know you want to say hi to AP.
Hey, AP, nice to hear your voice, man.
No, I think
that's it. That's good news. That's good news from this end.
I was very lucky, Hatter. I was very lucky with what the infections were.
Yeah.
So they could have been a lot worse. So.
Yeah. Good thing you take care of yourself.
No, I've been very quiet. Believe me.
Yeah. Who is it that, who wrote Wizard of Oz?
Oh, gosh. You've got me. You've got me.
Brain fart. Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody will.
I'm just trying to compare the...
L. Frank Baum.
Could it be as crazy as Dr. Seuss? I think Dr. Seuss is a madman.
Yes, I agree.
It is not easy. You think you need to write like him? It is not easy at all. At all.
Oh, it's not easy.
You can tell you're not, I don't suggest going there either.
Oh, I've done a few, but it's tough. No, it's very tough.
Yeah, you don't want to sound like go, dog, go, but then, you know.
No, that's right.
Oh, very good.
Awesome.
Just
comment.
This, right?
Rack and tour.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's not easy. You would think it is, you know, the simplicity of some of the one fish, two fish kind of rhymes, but you definitely made this more sophisticated and more your own without losing the cadence and the feel of his flow and his the way it kind of bebops, the way that to me is the signature, you know, the up and down, you know, when you read his his rhymes. So and you know, you did a fantastic story here, like you always do. So I always appreciate that, you know. I'm glad your foot's okay.
No, thank you. I've got to keep it for a little bit, which is nice. Thanks, Rack.
Great comment. And Wayne, please.
Yes, I said this is wonderful. Every little line was a complete story. Ramon. I want to say something about one of the lines, but I can't decide which one I want. I think I'll read a couple. One I like is Beat Theme Don't Link. That's great. And Ty Ruby and Square. I like it too. So it's an amazing poem. And it's great that you made it and you're doing well. And I'm glad you're back, brother.
Thanks, Juan. Thank you.
I would like to have been there when Dr. Seuss heard that Boris Karloff was going to narrate The Grinch. Right on, dude.
And before Sky comments, AP on the board, Angel says that she loved your poem, to get well soon, that you're in her thoughts and prayers.
Thank you, Angel. Thank you.
And Sky, will you comment for AP before you read your poem?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was wonderfully creative, AP. I really like how you brought in the dots. You know, I think many, including myself, I focused on the character behind the painting. I like how you brought in how he was actually interacting with the dots in the painting, with those watercolors. I thought that was really clever and creative, rather than just focusing on the character himself, you know, saying he's catching those dots of Merlot blots and black ink. Very creative.
So I imagine that you have to beat, so to speak.
Disappearing away, Deb. Thank you. I'll just be keeping a little bit of a low profile while I get used to a new set of drugs. We'll be back soonishly, I'm hoping.
Soonishly. Good. I look forward to your soonish return. And I appreciate you calling.
Thanks, everybody. Okay.
Hey, P.S. I heard you need a professional chauffeur. Good order.
That's true, Hatter. You're probably right.
Take care,
anyway, more of that.
And since nobody can drive you around in the entire country of Australia,
yes.
Hatter's volunteering
yes.
for the job.
Hatter's offering. Oh, that's nice. That's very good. Thank you.
Okie
doke. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk
soon.
Okay. See you thank later. You. Bye.
Got him the laugh, Hatter. Sky, your poem's on the board. Take us away, please.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to warn you, I have to take over your show for a moment. Is that all right?
I'm sorry, you have to what for a moment?
Take
She's
over
taking
your
over.
Show for a moment.
All yours.
Half my intro. All right, when fates collide, I love this, collide by Dark. In a time when ancient clauses were still fletched, cracked fortresses built of lilac and lavender marriages, there chanted an anthem of gods, warlords, and kings. In a land chanted, chained by gray, monochrome, psychographic camouflage and concealment that called itself coding. A community cried out for representation, for a hero. She was Xena, the mighty princess of Saffric subtext, forged in network battles and rose-tinted smokescreens. The power of improv, subtle scripts and perseverance, the passion of chemistry and a searching of one's soul, the danger of crossing pigment lines and rainbow blurs. Her courage changed the world, an icon for young viewers who had yet to see themselves within character portrayal. Intermingled with ancient mythology and slapstick humor, defying of gravity, she walked the path of redemption, a progressive femi-fatal, fleshed-out warrior woman. And despite the desperate attempts to stop fate colliding, love and poetry held many happy returns. And it is there, in the Valkyrie rings of fire, they remain unblemished by time. And full. Thanks for letting me take over the studio. I'll get out of there now. I love how you have
the studio. No,
no problem.
That was a cool, that was a cool touch. And I like to mention that somewhere I saw smoke forged in network battles as rose-tinted smoke screens, the power of improvs, subtitle scripts and perseverance, the passion of chemistry and searching for one's soul, the danger of crossing pigment lines and rainbow blurs. I think that section, the wording there is pretty brilliant, Sky, and the meaning is glowing in the rainbow. Intermingled with ancient mythology and slapstick humor, the defying of gravity, she walked the paths of redemption, a progressive femme fatale, fleshed-out warrior and woman. Love and poetry held many happy returns, and it is there in Valkyrie rings of fire they remain unblemished by time. I love the wording because it has the same kind of feel as some of the stuff you would hear in as they speak in the script. The Valkyrie rings of fire specifically. Xena, the mighty princess of sapphire subtext. I like the play on words. The how much you enjoyed episodes, the show, the characters, shows too. But the power in the words, in land chained by gray. Something there, you know, between the black and the white, and that land, it's chained by the gray. Nobody can see the beauty in the gray. It's just, there's something about you putting chains there that makes it extra powerful. Camouflage and concealment, all the stuff, coding, a community cry out for representation, for a hero. And, you know, now nobody would give it a second thought. And I think that if we were brave enough back when Xena was on, a lot of things would be different. It's funny how people's emotions and how someone might feel or react always seems to be less important as the almighty dollar or the importance of a situation that you find yourself in and you really blow it in how you handle it. I guess there's a lot of those stories. Really great share. When Fates Collide, I like the title too. I was looking forward to this, Sky, because I knew that you had said it was going to be an important write to you. Bravo for bringing it.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you for the opportunity. I was a huge, huge fan when I was younger, so thank you very much. And it's my first poem about Xena, so thank
you. There you go. Raconteur, you want to comment first, Sky?
I think he did a fantastic job with this. I spent a lot of time as a kid watching Hercules and Xena and all of that. And I don't know if you remember, Gabrielle wanted to be a bard, so that kind of made me think of you too, even though you didn't know her at all. You know, but the overall you know, character, I think you really captured a couple of really important things that I think was their intention for the show. When you mentioned like the network, they did a few episodes where they kind of broke that wall and showed the studio and had brought the characters into the, you know, the 20th century and vice versa, and did some crazy things like that to kind of make her more than just this TV character, which I think was very important to them for the show's popularity. And I think to you know, the actor herself, I really, really thought this was a great testimony to the empowerment that they were talking about, you know, or trying to bring about, you know, and you know, as campy as it was, it wasn't so campy, even though you mentioned, you know, the gravity defying, that makes me think of that stupid, somersault that she does in the air in the beginning of the thing. she's constantly doing that. But, you know, the other thing that I liked, you know, when they did bring in some of the history, you know, like the chakram, the weapons that she used, was a real weapon. And to the point that other shows kind of picked up on it, not so much because of her, but, you know, she ended up getting mentioned because of it. It was featured on her show, Fortune and Fire. They had to make one of those, and, you know, to try and show what it takes to build that kind of a weapon and have it actually be functional. It was very interesting to watch because the mechanics of it was cool. And, you know, the way she flung it around kind of like a frisbee more than a weapon was pretty cool in the show. That was more gravity-defying, I think, than some of the acrobatics that they did. But, you know, it really, really appreciated it. And you evoked that in your poem as well. So great job in bringing out her character and you know, the personality and I think the intention of what the show was trying to accomplish.
Thank you, Rock.
Awesome comment. And how about if I get a comment for Sky from Wayne?
Yes, I hope they must be paying Rack by the minute, by the word. Anyway, hey, here's a here's what I said. I said, I guess that's what the world needs. I guess that's what the world needs is a badass fighting woman with a sword. You described her inner soul and her inner being perfectly. But one woman like that is enough. The world doesn't need more kick-ass women. My butt's sore. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment for Sky?
I'm going to have to pass this time. I'm sorry.
Dun, 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 dun.
No problem. Are you back or are you doing something?
I am about to get busy. I'm going to have to probably take off in a couple minutes.
All right, well, let me change up a little bit. I was going to do Angel's and then yours, but we can do it backwards or... Because I think she has to go, too. Can you just wait for one more poem and then read yours?
For you, yes.
Hatter? All right. Thank you. Click on Angels, and I'll read for her. And then we'll do yours. And then, Sky, I was hoping that you would take a peek at Crystals and maybe read it before you have to go for me after Hatter, if you have time.
I do. I have to be there because I have to be there for the introduction. I'm doing something, so I... Like 11:25 is like the real cutoff. So if it's before then, I can't. Yes. Because
cool.
I'm part of.
No, I totally understand. Yeah, it'll be Angel,
yeah.
Hatter, Crystal. So just go ahead and take a peek at it, and I'll read for Crystal. Click on that, you guys. Heavenly Angel's poem is called Your Inner Child. And here we go. I float aloft in skies of butterscotch, apricot, and creamy, buttery sunshine. A child at heart with strawberry blonde hair, a blush of mauve upon cheeks, and sapphire eyes who emulate the wise, watching, listening, and learning daily, trying to be the best I can possibly be without sacrificing my self-dignity. This child within me has loved and lost.
playmates she held hands with when young and full of innocence, now memory in indigo skies. At times I feel lost and afraid. Seems as though licorice, inky, ebony night will never pass. And then I remember you promised to always lift me up whenever I needed. I would not ever have to ask. You would just know. Take this journey in your heart. Keep an open mind. Make the most of this time, oh precious child. For there shall never be a disaster when you follow the golden light into the land of popsicle dreams and watermelon rainbows. Dreams can come true when you listen to your inner child. Look at life from the eyes of a child. Amazing what they say. Just open up and listen. Learn a thing or two or three. And poem. This was a nice whimsical poem to go with the photo of Winnie the Pooh floating in the air, hanging on to a balloon string, being carried away. I like that you went with the inner child angel. I think that it was a sweet touch. I like the child within me has loved and lost playmate she held hands with when young and full of innocence. Now a faint memory and indigo skies. And sometimes those innocent little things from your childhood, you do forget. But if you sit back and think about it, it almost always brings a smile to your face. Even the thought of the break, because it all turns you into the person that you are. And even in a whimsical piece, where Pooh's floating through the air and we're on a journey of the heart, your heart shines through in the words. And I think that you did a great job with the crayons, with the photo, and with the sentiment behind it. And it's always an honor to read for you, Angel. Let me get you a comment from Sky, please.
Yeah, I love the picture that you chose. I thought that was a great homage. And I just watched a Christopher Robin not too long ago, and the film had sachets of childhood and sadness. And I think that we all, intermingled with your poem, you have that same beautiful, I guess, realism and reflection on childhood. And, this child within me has loved and lost. Playmate she held with hands when she was young and full of innocence, now faint memory of indigo skies. I think, I'm sorry because I so often relate things to film, so please stay with me for one moment. But there's this film about emotion. And about how when we get older and there's a joy and a sadness, and the joys are all yellow and sadness, they're blue. And as the child grows older, it follows this animation of emotions in our mind, and how all the happy memories start to get tainted by the blue and starting to be sad just a little. And that's what your poem reminds me of. It reminds me of the importance of, even though, when we get older, we look back, and even the happiest memories sometimes have a little tinge of sadness because we miss them, and they're long past. But it doesn't tarnish how beautiful they were, and that's what I feel and see in your poem. Wonderful piece.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, please.
Yes. Wow. I love hearing you write about about the little girl. That the little girl I think of you as. I always thought of Angel as a little, as a young girl. This is sweet and tasty, and I can use a slice of watermelon before I go night night with my kitty. You're so lovely. This boy took me back there, where I love. Bye bye, Angie. Great job.
Oh. And rocking tours.
Yeah, it's just beautifully touching. You know, it's one of those things that kind of makes you feel like we almost know the person that wrote it. You know, very relatable. A lot of the emotion and the beginning, you had me all hungry until you got serious and started talking about the inner child. It took a little bit of a sad turn for me, but you know, I love the sentiment in it and the thoughtfulness of it and you know the reflection of it. Again, there's so much that I can picture and relate to. I really enjoyed it a lot. The inner child, you know, that's something, I don't know. I thought it was beautiful.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment for Angel and then read your poem for us?
Yeah. Is Angel here in the studio with us?
She's actually in the chat room listening.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, she writes the hallmark of warm fuzzies beautifully. Does she ever write dark? Or if you ever try?
Now and then.
Intimate.
Shockingly enough.
Yeah, that's it. Really? Okay.
And just like, actually, the one that I saw that she did very well. So, like everything she does.
Yeah. It wasn't shocking that she wrote well. It was just shocking that she wrote dark.
Yeah, exactly.
But yet,
exactly.
And there is your
I think
status.
She did it too.
Okay. I can't remember what I wrote, so your guess is as good as mine. What's going to happen here? Never or Wonderland. And my gold lapsed, so I couldn't put the picture up there. If you want to try posting my picture, Deb, somewhere in there, like tell me those.
Sure.
Of a cool picture.
Go ahead and read. I'll put it on the board.
It goes like this. To have never wandered between the yellow lines, to walk without the shadows behind my enemy lines, taken to be counted, holding numbers instead of words, speaking in translations, trying to be heard, fighting things in trouble, finding myself alone, following with questions I carved into stone. What would be the odds right now if all these words were banked and maybe I should not worry and give heartfelt thanks? Thank you, Deb. See, I skipped the bank.
This is really cute, Hatter. I panicked earlier because when I went to put everything on your list, your poem wasn't there, and I was like, wait, what happened? What would be the odds right now that all these words are banked and maybe I should not worry, just give a heartfelt thanks. I like the end. And where is that? Writing things in troubles, finding myself alone, following with questions I carved into stone. You know, I doubt it's what you meant when you put following with questions I carved into stone, but a lot of people say that you ask the best questions. A handful of people. One of them is AP. He's always commenting on how great of a question you always ask. So that's what it made me think of there. Following questions, I call stone because they're just great questions. So, but I just want to turn that table just a little bit and send that thank you back at you, Hatter. Very clever brevity here, and I did put that picture on the board so that people could see what you wrote too. Clever share. Wayne, what do you think?
I was kind of shocked, though. It's a great poem of a great poem of reality, and I mean reality is in like this minute. This is amazing poem because all these words are banked. I like this a whole lot. You did a good job. This caught me off guard because you're talking about what we do right now and what we're doing right now. So it's a great job. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, Ed.
Awesome comment. And Raconteur?
Yeah, you bring to mind the question itself that you ask about, you know, the word, the questions you ask into stone. You make us think about the impact that some of the words we ask, the questions we ask, our armchair philosophy and things like that. You bring all of that out in the questions that you ask. So you did a great job with it. And then, you know, you turn it around and you mention Deb's word bank. which, you know, you wouldn't know that this was a word bank reading it until you said that it was a word bank. You did a good job. Clever. Clever.
I got away with it. Thank you.
I actually think that's one of the best things when you – sometimes you look at something, and just by the way somebody used a word, you knew it felt like forced, and then you start to realize that it was a word bank. But the people in this group are like – I never feel like any of you is forced, and 9 times out of 10 I forget that there was a word bank, except that I start to recognize my words in your poems. So, you know.
Wait a minute.
There's
actually banked words in there?
What?
I was just checking it out.
I didn't know if there was any words banked in there or not. I didn't use the bank. You mean there are?
No.
Wow.
Actually, it's where you said
words
are banked. It was a nod. Wait a minute. There are actually some, because yellow is one of the words. Shadow is a crayon. It's a gray crayon. So I thought there was 3 or 4.
Okay.
But anyway, there's a couple
bank
in there. And like I said, we don't penalize when people don't use the word bank, but it's just, it's there.
I know,
it's,
I should be there.
It's all good, Hatter. I'm just broke. let me get you a couple more comments. Wayne, did I already tell you to comment for Hatter?
Yes, I did. It was a nice comment, too.
Yes,
okay, and
yeah.
And Rad,
Sky.
Yeah, Sky, will you comment for Hatter and then read for Crystal Hope, please?
Yes, I'd love to. T-minus 8 minutes. I thought this was fun. I love the writing things and troubles, finding myself alone, following with questions I carved into stone. I loved the rhymes, the lyrical flow, the balance of a wonderland journey. And, you know, I think one thing that Alice does well is make us ask ourselves questions that may seem simple but complicated in many ways. Very well done, Hatter.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comments. Now, Hatter, I know you have to go.
Yeah.
We have Sky's poem and then 2 recordings and less sweet calls, so we won't be here much longer anyway. So enjoy your dinner.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice having
you. See you guys. Good night. I'll be listening.
Muted.
This is a poem by Crystal.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it very much. And, let me let my sweet in first before you read that. Sweet. Glad you're
hello.
Here.
Hello. I'm here. Hello, hello.
I'm glad you're here. I assume you're safe and sound, mile high. And Sky, if you would go ahead and read for Crystal, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. This is a poem by Crystal Hope, Be in a Place That's Real, or a fairy tale to appeal. Buttercup sunsets drop as eggshell clouds pop, the tornado winds stop. Ginger canvas hay bales emerge from the yellow trail, a brick road to mused fairy tale. Red slipper flies grow where monkeys fly in a bubblegum rainbow sky. It's all but a dream in a world of make-believe, or so it seems. There's no place like home. It's only when you're alone where magic wizards roam and foam. Oh, and foam rhymes too. Brilliant.
Great read. I like the color she pulled in. I clicked my crimson heels. Would I be in a place that's real or a fairy tale to appeal? I like
the questions right there at the beginning. Ginger Kansas hayballs emerge from yellow trails of brick roads to mused fairy tales. I like the little whimsy pieces that bring the movie to mind, yes, but they also help drive that there's no place like home sentiment. So I think that she did a clever job with this brevity. And I also see that she had it in a contest and got an award for it. So that's very cool. And Sky, I appreciate you reading it for Crystal. Crystal, we miss you. Try not to work too hard. Sky, will you comment?
Yes, thank you. This, I thought, was brilliant. All these pictures were so amazing. I stole a lot of them, Deb, a lot. She did such a wonderful job with this. I loved the bit of fun rhyme with the buttercup sunsets drop as the eggshell clouds pop, with the tornado winds stop. The short line rhyme with the retimes I don't always get into when people kind of triple, when people repeatedly rhyme. But because of the nature of this and the fun way that she spun this tale, I think it really works well, and I think she's made me a believer in this kind of triple line rhyme, especially when she does those short little tercets that are just really keep the flow of the storytelling going, and she did a great job. Wonderfully done, Crystal. And with that, have a great night, Deb. Thank you so much.
Do you have a show to push before you go?
Yes, I'm on tomorrow at LCN. So go drop some rights. I need some poems. If you ever seen the movie White Fang or read the book, please drop me a poem. Or if you have a poem about a wolf, drop me a poem. Drop me a poem. Call in, talk about the book and the movie and the differences. I'm also on Saturday night at at Poetic Slice, and we are what month? D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. So do your homework and stop by. See you guys later.
Cool. And are both those at 8 p.m.?
Both at 8 p.m. Yeah, I'm an early bird. I don't like to stay up late. Although I have been staying up late.
All right. Well, I know you want to know the intro, so I appreciate you for calling and hanging out and for reading for Crystal, and I will see you later. Love and respect.
Thanks. Bye, Sky.
Okay, now, sweet. All I have left are two recordings for Gerald and Frank. So if you are ready, I'll put you on now. If not, I'll put you in between the two men, where you want to be.
I could be between two men.
There you go. Okay. All right. Then I am going to grab Gerald's poem and put it on the board. And as soon as I find it, there it is. Okay. There is his link. Let me push A. Here we go.
Unaddressed Failure, written and read by Gerald Green. The bureaucrat sits at his chestnut desk and counts the years until golden retirement, knowing he is secure in his job. No one will disturb his peaceful days. He reads reports and talks on a red telephone to like-minded people across the land with no regard for innovation or revolution of means and ways. The force in blue is run with military might, an urban army ready to fight. Each 911 call results in confrontation to demonstrate orders' demands. An addict in denim does it again, seems insane for an hour or more. Police arrive with calloused hands on chrome and slate-colored guns. The jail is filled with repeat offenders. None can meet society's demands. Conformity cannot reach far enough to keep troubled souls from iron's restraint. The bureaucrat sits at his chestnut desk and thinks all is well in his town. Peace is enforced at any cost, police subduing all in their path. Who will look closer discern the facts of neighborhoods and families in need of a better approach when dealing with drug-induced wrath? Will sunshine never pierce through this urban orange haze, addressing an obvious challenge? Adding a color of cream or teal, not sticking to blue, can add a dimension worthy of praise. The bureaucrat sits at his chestnut desk and drinks his tea until retirement. Knowing he is secure in his job, no one will disturb his peaceful days. End poem.
No one will disturb his peaceful days. There's his ending. My, oh my. The bureaucrat sits at his chestnut desk and counts the years until golden retirement, knowing he is secure in his job. No one will disturb his peaceful days. Uh-oh. Never say never. Someone will. He reads reports. The force in blue and run with military might and urban army ready to fight. Each 911 results in confrontation to demonstrate orders, demands. An addict in denim does it again, seems insane for hours or more. Police arrive with calloused hands on chrome and slate-covered guns. I think that this is an awesome use of this word bank. Where's that other? The jail is filled with repeat offenders. No one can meet society's demands. Conformity cannot reach far enough to keep troubles from iron's restraint. It's true. There's like, what's the word? Potent information in there. And then stuff like, will sunshine never pierce through the urban orange haze? It's like, you know, will it ever be different? Will the sun ever shine, brighten the shadows, take away the darkness type of thing? The bureaucrat sits at his chestnut desk and drinks his tea until retirement. I love that he brings it full circle and tells us again how all that stuff's going on that we just read and heard about, and he's just sitting at that desk. Counting the clock ticks until it's time for retirement, and nobody will disturb his peaceful days. If only that were true. It's like, you know, no one will disturb the peaceful days, but they always manage to somehow. Really, really clever, Gerald. I appreciate it. And a quite original use of that word bank. You always surprise me with the way you take the prompts, the direction that you go in, and this is no exception. And again, I really like how it starts right where it begins with all these things going on, and he's just still counting the time till his last day. Great share. What you think, Rex?
Yeah, I enjoy bookending as a poetic device, and the opening thought about it just conveys being mired in repetition. I had a different word in my head for some reason, but it's monotony, mired in monotony my days are my days, and you know, it's kind of dictated to me. And then, you know, like you say, some chaotic person comes along and tries to screw things up and everything. But, you know, he still manages to settle in and I won't say ignore it, but just, you know, continue on with his business. He gave that feeling of almost indifference and just, you know, I got a job to do and I'm just going to sit here and not pay attention to what's really going on or even care about it. It's just this is what I do. Sobering thoughts.
Yeah, potent and sobering. That's a good word, sobering thoughts. Sweet. Will you comment for Gerald and then share your poem with us?
You have to do it off mute.
Oh, damn it.
She's got dogs, but the cat's got a tongue.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now you can. I was saying I agree with Rashi Tor. I think it's a brilliant piece that is intelligent. It's informative. It's humorous and has a strong message. And the question is it possible to achieve? And I really think so. I think that I'd like to see so who will look closer to showing the facts of neighborhoods and families and get a better approach. So, you know, why the drugs, why the wrath, and how we solve that problem. You know, I love that question here and all the other questions she has in there. And I just think, yes, we can achieve it if we stop this. Great.
Awesome comment. And are you ready to be in between, or should I put that other one on and you can close the show?
No.
Death and destruction. Death and destruction.
It's not that. I love him. I love him. He's one of my favorites of all time. I rocked him. Although, it took me a while tonight because I was a totally different subject. I've been on a long week. So I had to switch gears and write a whole new poem. So, long week.
You work here really well under pressure, dear heart. So take us away.
All right. So this is Time Lords. Buttons and lights beat to whistle as the TARDIS blazes in another tangerine sunset. His life in solitary confinement, searching for another companion. Drifting through galaxies, fighting Titans and Cybermen, drowning in seashells and fighting in castles made of stone, meeting women named Clara, Rose, and Amy Pond. Flamingo dancing on fleeing planets until dawn, shooting whiskey with Captain Jack all the way long. The pain is never broke his heart. Very good friends himself over and over again. Wars and peace and the universe's greatest inventions. Thought to save them from enemies conceived. Aliens in colors of chestnut, amber, and aquamarine. Some with big eyes, others with skins, and one a president. Crushed bones and green blood and lizard kings. Humans so trusting to have an angel guard them. Catch their eyes when we die, for still we must know. We hear the cry of a voice we know so well. Sarah has called from beyond, and we will go through hell. For the Daleks have made for one of their own. A Sarah screams, our time lord, the doctor. Who? The doctor, Princess TARDIS, in charge of the screwdriver to save the world from the horror of Daleks in control. And Paul.
Wow, sweet. See, I told you you work well under pressure. I like where that humans so trusting to have an angel guard over a loved one, weeping and evil. They all kill for fun, catch their eyes, and you die for a stone. You will become, there's a finality to that, like a Medusa stone kind of finality there. And once you're it, that's it. He hears cry from a voice he knows so well. But back to the flamingo dancing on flaming planets until dawn, shooting whiskey with Captain Jack and always wrong, but champagne with River broke his heart and sang his love song. I like the history, the backstory that you're giving on this particular, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is Dr. Nine. Anyway, who cares?
Yeah.
Got the bow tie, you know. The buried friends and himself over and over again, watched wars and peace and the universe's greatest inventions fought to save them from the enemies that they never conceived. I like the detail here, and obviously you're a Dr. Who fan. Some of the details and stuff that you mentioned here speak of someone who is absolutely a fan. And the doctor turns the TARDIS and changes his screwdriver to save the world from the horror of Dalek control. I'm really thrilled that you took this one. I did not know that you were a Doctor Who fan. So that was something. That's something that I will tuck into my hat. I wasn't sure. I was shocked at how fast the Alice pictures were going, so I threw a couple of them into your inbox that I didn't put out just in case. But I'm glad you went with this because it gives me some more fuel for your amazing pen. Yeah, yeah. I think you did a great job with this week. Raconteur, what do you think of Sweet's trip in the TARDIS?
I think she could write about just about anything. I mean, she could be scary sometimes, the things that she manages to pull out. And, you know, the way my warp mind interprets some things and the things that I see. But I really, you know, I enjoy her storytelling and her imagery. I got lost in the middle when she started talking about champagne and Captain Jack and some of the alcoholic references, and then flamenco. To me, it was kind of like partying, you know, because you were talking about dancing, or at least to me, you know, it was a party, you know. There was drinking and dancing, and you know, and that's when shit goes down. So, you know, again, I appreciate the setting and whatnot. It's kind of like, you know, I won't say an everyday thing, but you know, they talk about on you know, the settings of some of the sitcoms and things like that. You know, when people go to dinner parties, this is a Sweet dinner party, you know. Sweet goes out with Doctor Who and the TARDIS and their champagne and
champagne, drink it in the time machine with Sweet Pea. Awesome, Cher. And it is down to just the three of us. So before I put on the last recording, which Frank sent for us, we are off tomorrow. So if anybody wants to write for the White Fang for Sky, she's desperately needing some poems for her show. And I don't want to say too much about Wednesday because I haven't got a verification. So I will ask my dear, beautiful Sweet Pea to tell us what's happening with her and Hatter on Thursday.
Doing the stuff with our dolly. show with Alex Warren. So I'm very excited. As far as I know, he's still up for it. He hasn't texted me and said, no, I can't do it. So I'm very excited to be doing it. My first Alex Warren Man co-host with Hatter.
Looking forward to that. It's some really freaky art, and the fact that it was recently discovered is really cool. And then to be Alice in Wonderland is doubly cool. And then the fact that it's Salvador Dali, so triply cool. So I'm actually looking forward to sinking my teeth into that one. And that'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night, with Sweet Pea and Hatter.
That's how Sweet plays with our dollies.
And you were missed, Sweet. I'm glad you're back. And, okay, now, if you guys will click on Frank's poem, I will push play, and we can see what he did with Alice and the Rabbit. Here we go.
Alice saw a white rabbit scurrying to the emerald forest of clover, saying, "Oh, dear!" When she followed him through the thick patches of prying ivy, vines, and till moss, until she saw the celeritous rapid make a leap into a small hole of unknown secrets, where it had suddenly vanished into its profound bronze burrow within the earth. Alice had decided to continue the chase and jumped into the dark hole. When she had reached the end of the copper tunnel, she saw the rays of light. She had crawled out of the aperture to descry rows of giant purple thistles, along yellow daffodils, raspberry roses, green orchids, and tangerine marigolds. They smelled like the edible fruits of grapes, lemons, pears, and oranges, and Alice was tempted to take a bite. She did, at her own foolish peril. But as she walked and ate the fruited flower, she began to shriek in size, and she heard the croaking crows as they chased grassy grasshoppers. She ran as fast as she could till she had reached the manor of the rabbit, whereupon she knocked on the front door to find the door totally unlocked. She entered announcing herself that the anonymous rabbit had left, but poor Alice was left all alone behind the mysterious, closed, mulberry door. The menacing sounds of the croaking crows were as slippery and heard through the cast mirror walls clattered in perforated panels of the recesses, causing Alice to hover fearfully under the protection of a solid mahogany table. The terrible crows had feasted on the fleeing grasshoppers that dispersed. Once the cunning crows had left and the resounding noise had then abated, Alice rose to her feet to discover a phial with foams of succulent cranberry wine. She drank it and slowly had begun to grow and grow in the size of her body. As she ran out of the house with fretting scare to the fields once more, out of fear, she ran away from the fields towards the river of chocolate and vanilla, and out of instinct drank from the river, reducing her to her once normal size anew. But nearby the iris lily pads of the burgundy bubblegum and crimson licorice galore, Alice saw the rabbit walking upon an old platinum pavement of puffy marshmallows. She wondered, do I follow the chase this time?
Wow. There are so many amazing details in this. My goodness. They smell like the edible fruits of grapes, lemons, pears, and oranges. But the anonymous rabbit had left, but poor Alice was left alone behind the mysterious closed mulberry door. Really excellent use of the word bag. The protection of a solid mahogany table as the terrible crows had feasted on the fleeing grasshoppers that dispersed. I mean, my goodness. Fabulous evening. As she ran out of the house with a threatened scare at the fields once more, out of fear, she ran away from the fields towards the river of chestnut and vanilla. I kind of feel by the time I got done listening to Frank's read that I need a snack. he put some really tasty images through here. And the visuals of the crows and the different colors, the bubblegum and crimson licorice galore. Alice saw the rabbit walking upon an odd platinum pavement of puffy marshmallows. I think that Frankie did a spectacular job with the word bank, threaded it into the story flawlessly. I was just saying earlier what a big difference it makes when the word banks aren't forced, and you threaded that through here with such skill that, you know, everything, it was like it flowed without any kind of force whatsoever. So I think you did a fantastic job. And I appreciate you sending in the recording for us very much. Sweet, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. I thought you did a great job. Wonderful tribute to Alice in Wonderland. It was delicious. Literally, not figuratively, he did everything food-wise and tasty. And there was literally the touch, taste, you know, and smell in here, which is perfect for a poem, and he really just had you in there and what Alice was doing and feeling and touching and feeling. I thought it was just fantastic, and you really felt like you were in Wonderland. And that's what I really liked about it.
Awesome comment. And Raconteur, I know that there are several days before your show, but will you comment for Frank and then tell us what you have coming up next on your Tuesday?
My show passed last Tuesday. But, I thought this was a fantastic read, Frank. Really, you did an excellent job focusing on you know, the words and the story that you told. I was kind of hanging on what was going to happen next. Every little detail that you gave us, you know, just kind of made me hungry for the next little nugget, wondering, you know, what was going to happen with the crows and things like that. So you did tell a great story, but the read kind of was, you know, a little different than some of the other ones that you've done in the past. So I think this one really was exceptional compared to some of the other ones that you've done. Not that they were bad or anything, but this was just head and shoulders above the other ones for me. I don't know why, but it just really was an excellent read. And again, the story didn't hurt, and you know, the fact that it was a word bank, you know, it didn't feel like a word bank, like Deb said. You did a great job with the story, and kind of leading us along and painting the picture that you did. It was fantastic.
Awesome comment. And sorry about the thing with the show. I'm looking at the October schedule, and I'm on the month,
yeah.
So you're not next week. you're
yeah,
all a month away, so there is that. So,
and I could tease you a little bit and remind you that you ran the studio too that day. So, hello.
I know, right? I know. But that's what I get from looking at another schedule while I'm doing it. And you don't have anything over at LCN coming up that you want to talk about?
Nope, that one also just passed.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, then
I don't have any topic. Yeah. Thank you.
No problem. And I appreciate you staying for the whole show, Rick. Very, very much. And on that note, I will say thank you to Hatter for always being there. And thank you to Raconteur again. Thank you, Wayne and Sky and Steven and Kay and AP and Sweet Pea. And thank you for the poems, Angel and Crystal. And thank you for the recordings, Gerald and Frank. And I appreciate you all very much. And if there's something going to happen on Wednesday, I'll get the board taken care of as fast as possible. Otherwise, I will see everybody at Sweet Pea Show on Thursday night. Sweet, I'm really glad you're back. Again, I missed you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you all very, very much. With love and respect. And Stephen and Kay are live right now over at A Poetic Slice doing Nightbreed. If anyone's not too tired, check out their show. Otherwise, we are out of here. Love and respect, you guys. Good night.
Thank you for using Dog Talk Radio. Goodbye.